The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. And this is a special show because we're going to lead you into the Thanksgiving weekend. And it's General Knowledge Wednesday. So we're going to have some fun and talk about some interesting issues that keep going on with the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson. Now, we're going to have Tim McManus on today. And Tim was a guy we asked a question today, which elicited an interesting response from the head coach. And we'll get to that in a second. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. All right, so the big question, and everybody's talking about it. I'm asked when everybody sees me, you're going to go into Thanksgiving, your small gatherings for Thanksgiving, and people are going to want to talk about whether Carson Wentz should be benched in favor of Jalen Hurts. And so it's a topic that's not going to go away. Now, it's not going to happen. Most likely, but you got to read into the lines with this guy. See, I'm trying to figure out Doug Peterson. Maybe I'm trying to figure him out too much. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Is he trying to send cryptic messages just to mess with people? Is he really undecided about who he might want to play at quarterback on Monday? Or is he just not smart? Now, I don't know what it is. But he, day after day, gives us interesting things to talk about, like Tim McManus' story today, ESPN.com, based on his question to Doug Peterson. Now, if I'm the head coach, and I'm already on record saying that Carson Wentz is my quarterback, and I hear a question about it, I go, no, we are not going to make any change. Carson's the quarterback. And you move on from there. I mean, that's a declarative answer, and there's no room for any discussion at all. But for some reason, he likes to open the door for discussion for people like me and you, especially me, where I pick apart something, I grab it, and I like to run with it. And so he was asked a question today about Carson Wentz. So, Ty, let's hear what he had to say. The coach said the question and the answer from Tim McManus and Doug Peterson.
You're not making that move, right, Doug, to a different quarterback?
Not today on Wednesday, no.
Okay, possibly for Monday?
I'm focused right now on getting better today. I mean, okay. We're looking, I don't know. I mean, I would say no.
Carson's your starter for Monday?
Yes.
All right, now, you tell me what that is. What is it? Is he just trying to mess with people because he finds it fun? Or can you read into it seriously where he goes, like, he's actually considering? I would say, but is he therefore leaving himself an exit strategy? Like, is that what it is? Because I don't know what it is. And I think it's really fascinating to try to figure it out. And we might be going too far because we're probably, you know, our brains are moving a little faster than his is at this particular time, I dare say. And maybe we're giving him too much credit. Maybe he's not there. Like, I don't know what it is. What is your interpretation when you hear something like that, Tyrone?
My guess is that he's thought about it, but isn't ready to do it. And it manifests itself when the question came because somehow he was caught off guard. I don't know how he was caught off guard, But it seemed like he was caught off guard. Because here's the thing. You have to make the transition ahead of time via the practice field. Uh-huh. You have to. The media can watch practice, at least some of it. They'll see, and then they'll also talk to players. Mm-hmm. You can't hide if Hurts is suddenly getting the reps with the ones.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not making that change today, you just say no, because because whatever you say, it's going to the media is going to find out when practice happens, and they're practicing today. So I don't understand. I think he just isn't. I don't like to call somebody dumb, but he's a little the opposite of smart.
All right, Natalie, you heard the same thing. I don't want to condemn, because I don't know, but there are only three possibilities here. So, but what is your initial reaction to that?
I'm at a loss for any sort of reaction, because it's how does he not have this? How does he not know yet? But it's the same thing that we've been saying all year long. How does he not know? How does he not know what's coming?
Well, all right. So
it's the same thing every week.
All right. So let's go back to getting caught off guard, which I can't believe. But his answer, let's choose A, B, and C. His answer, the reason is he's just messing with the reporter and hence us, because he's getting some glee into getting back at people who have gotten at him, have criticized him. So he's playing this mind game where he's gone, let him think I'm going to make a change. I'm not making any change. Let him think so. I'm just messing with him.
But he's bad. Well, he's bad at playing the mind game.
To that end, that would have you would have to say that he's smart enough to do that. Like, okay, so that he would be sharp enough to want to conjure up a plan to mess with people. All right. The second thing is he is considering it. That it's only Wednesday, and he still really hasn't made up his mind. And the more he listens to people, the more he thinks he should at least change for one game, which Sal suggested yesterday, what some people have suggested, just like a hitter in a slump. You sit him down and you give him a day to study, like the McNabb principle back in the day. Or three, he's just a numbskull. And, that's the catch-all. He just, I don't know. I'm siding with one. I think, and I'm giving him some credit here for being semi-clever, that he has conjured up a plan to mess with people. So I'm saying that he's messing with the reporter, Tim McManus, and therefore he's messing with the fan base for all the people who have asked the critical questions and all the people who have criticized him by saying, guess what, I'm in charge. You can't do anything about it. I know I'm not going to change the quarterback, but how about if I let your wheels spin for a little bit through your Thanksgiving turkey? How about that?
He does.
I'm saying that.
He did clarify later, though, after Rob Motti asked him.
Rob again. Rob is the savior. Rob comes in and saves.
Now, Peterson whisper.
Rob says he doesn't like that, and he's just doing his job. So I guess his follow up questions just happened to give the coach, by coincidence twice now, the opportunity to clean up a previous mess.
Yeah, so Rob, here's, we have the Rob question or just the answer?
The answer.
All right, so Rob said, wants to clarify that whether Carson Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback, and here's Doug's answer.
I think about a lot of things. The question was, is Carson my starter? He's my starter. End of story. You guys can blow it up however you want it, and that's fine. I'm focused on these team, this players, this coaching staff, and the Seattle Seahawks.
All right, so that would lead me to believe that he, for that moment, wants to mess with people.
Yeah, that's possible.
And then he thought better of it. He's like, I better straighten this out.
But why?
And
this is the way he amuses himself now with the press.
But it's not about the press or Doug. It's about the fans. They want to know. Well, they want to know what they're going into.
He wants to amuse himself with the fans, too, because the fans have been very critical of him.
That's a good point.
He's getting bagged all off of you. All of y'all.
Ew.
Well, it could be.
Hey. He's rude.
Hey.
He's rude.
He better win.
He's
rude to everybody if you're not going to win.
I don't think he's going to win.
Well, I know.
He believes that he's been unfairly criticized. And so this is his mind game. That's what I'm sticking with. All right, so it's General Mollins Wednesday today. I'll just let you folks decide. I don't know. There are a lot of people who think we do pick on Doug Peterson. There's a lot of Peterson supporters out there. Like, I see it on Twitter. Why you got to beat the drum? You always got to beat the drum overly hard. Well, listen, we're discussing issues. General Knowledge Wednesday today is, of course, brought to us by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. Five lucky listeners who get a question correct today will win a $25 Amazon gift card. Nice for holidays. Along with a petty goodie bag, courtesy of Concord Pet Foods and Supplies, and The Pack. In an Amazon original series, The Pack is a new unscripted competition reality series that features human-dog teams in an epic global adventure. You can stream that on Prime Video today. And one lucky listener is going to receive a $100 gift card to Nabrasa. They're open for indoor and outdoor dining according to protocol, takeout, curbside pickup. And they're serving a full 15 Brazilian meat service with a dedicated server to each table. Complete details are at Nabrasa.com. The categories today would be general knowledge. This is an interesting one. Snapple real facts. You know, you grab a Snapple, you grab the cap.
Uh-huh.
There's a question on there. But most of them are not true.
What?
Yeah, most of the facts are not true.
The Snapple?
But you should know the answer to the question. If you fact check the facts, you'll find it's some of these answers aren't true. But according to Snapple, they are true. And it's the most common answer that people would have for the question.
Okay.
All right? Does that confuse you?
A little bit.
It does?
I'm questioning my life
like,
now.
All right. So, like, for instance, this country has a Bill of Rights to protect its sacred cows.
India.
Yes, but it doesn't. See, that you got the right answer. But the doesn't have a Bill of Rights to protect the sacred cows. They're just sacred. They don't have a document.
Well, I probably learned that from a Snapple.
Yes.
Now
that's
questioning everything.
That's what I'm saying. The Snapple facts are real facts that could be anything but real. But it's the you'll get the answer.
Okay.
It's just not necessarily the true answer. According to Snapple, it's true. According to most people who have believed all these years, that answer is true, but it's really kind of a wives tale true.
How about it?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Who knew? I didn't.
Yeah. And now we're going to go to, let's see, what is the other category would be NFL players, college teams. That's one of my favorites, the college teams.
Yeah.
And movies by haiku.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I know what haiku is. It's always confused me. What is haiku?
I think it's mostly 575.
It's something like that. Yeah.
And then there's a longer one that might be like 797.
Whatever it is, they say it's really only one kind.
It's 575.
Yeah, I never understood it, but maybe you will.
Syllables.
But it does really matter if you understand the haiku part. What you have to understand are the clues to get the movie.
I love haikus.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. They're too short.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of them.
I don't understand them. I don't.
They're funny.
They are?
Yeah.
All right, Natalie, you write a haiku that's funny by 6 o'clock.
I can
Good
write.
Good luck.
I've written plenty of haikus.
Oh, give me a haiku. Got 5 minutes. Got commercial.
All right, yeah. Fine. I'll come up with a good haiku.
Give me a quick haiku.
All right,
right
on the
now?
Other side. Yeah, on the other side of the
commercial. All right. I need a minute.
You got 5 minutes, 6 minutes to think about it.
Okay.
All right. 610-632-0975. Today, Tim McManus at 3:30. It's our fantasy day today. They want to come be on tomorrow. Thursday's usually fantasy day. So Eric Carabell will join us at 4 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, Dwight Howard, the new Sixer backup center, will join us. D. Howard. All right. Big show today. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's about 3:30 on the Mike Mussnelli Show on a General Knowledge Wednesday. Just to remind you, General Knowledge Wednesday is presented by Tesla North America, the choice of HVAC techs. Who cannot have the most accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter? Be sure with Testo. Today, 5 lucky listeners get a question correct, win a $25 Amazon gift card with a pet goodie bag, courtesy of Conquer Pet Foods and Supplies. And The Pack, it's an Amazon original series, an unscripted competition reality series that features human-dog teams. In an epic global adventure, you can stream it on Prime Video today. And we have one grand prize today, which is a $100 gift card to Nebraska. Let's get to our Twitter poll update, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons with Natalie. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 900 votes on this one so far. Do you think Doug Peterson is still undecided on the starting quarterback for Monday night? 20% say yes, 80% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. Well, let's get the lowdown on this Philadelphia Eagle team. And we've been talking all day about Tim McManus's question to Doug, which elicited a very strange response. And he wrote the story today about the Eagles possibly could benching Carson Wentz, but the move to Jalen Hurts is not as simple as a lot of people would think. He's the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, Mr. Tim McManus, and he is brought to us by Training Camp. That's right. If you want to get IT certified, you can do it fast at Training Camp, online at trainingcamp.com. Hello, Timmy Mac. Creating some controversy today with a simple question?
Just another day in the life, Mikey Mac.
All right. Now, your question is a fairly obvious question that the coach could say, Carson Wentz is starting. And he decided not to say it that way. And let the people hear it, and we'll let Tim comment on his answer.
You're not making that move, right, Doug, to a different quarterback?
Not today on Wednesday, no.
Okay, possibly for Monday?
I'm focused right now on getting better today. I mean, okay. We're looking, I don't know. I mean, I would say no.
All right.
No.
Carson's your starter for Monday?
Yes.
Okay, so there it is. Not today on Wednesday. I'm focused on getting a little better today. I would say no. Why? Why would he answer it that way?
It's a great question. I wasn't intending on asking that question, Mike, but the previous question he started going in his response about the difficult answers that a coach has to come up with, including the current one, which is whether to make a move at quarterback. Mm-hmm. So that brought in my mind, like, I thought we had already settled that. You said that. So that's why I tried to ask him again about it. It's a little suspicious to me.
Yeah.
The fact that he couldn't just come clear with a concise answer, even though he's already delivered one, tells me that there was something preventing him from doing so in his mind. So I think that there's something there. I don't think that they're moving to Jalen Hurts right now, but I feel like something is happening behind the scenes or has happened behind the scenes to get Peterson to not just fully on commit to that answer in that moment. It suggests to me that there's something happening behind the scenes.
That's interesting. Because we had three reasons for he would answer it. And my reason was because I think he now has made it a game to mess with media and hence fans who have been critical towards him. And so that was his way of playing that little game. Let them think that I'm going to make a switch and they can their minds can spin. But the second thing is he actually is considering. And, of course, the third is he's just a numbskull. So you think he's actually considering it?
You know what? I think that there has to be a conversation going on. And also, I think that there has to be a lot of pressure that's being felt by a lot of the main parties here. And that includes the head coach. I mean, if we just look at the circumstances, the Eagles are just plummeting. They are in a free fall. Jeffrey Lurie made it very clear that he needed to see an improvement on offense this season. And it's gone even worse than it was last year. And then you have the quarterback who had somebody drafted at that position in the second round this year who can't seem to get it right. You have like 70 different voices offering their opinions on what the right answer is, and somehow they all have to come into the collaboration and be pointed in a similar direction. Is that all happening? Well, I don't know. I mean, the product on the field suggests no. You know, so I just feel like there's more to this story, and that and that Peterson gave us a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, he did open the door for that question because he's going on about how he's responsible for this and responsible for that. Now let me focus on that point for a second, because a couple days ago, he said that in this town, everybody's focused on the quarterback and the coach. Well, most NFL towns, they are. But it was his way of saying there's these other things that are going on. We're not doing this. That five things he ticked off. Now, if five things are going wrong, isn't that under his responsibility?
He owns a lot of this. There's no doubt.
But I'm not sure he owns it. You know, he owns it, but he doesn't acknowledge that he owns it.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. All right, well, he's responsible for a good portion of what's gone wrong here. But at the same time, and the point that I've been making is that when your quarterback is broken, and it appears right now that the quarterback is, nothing else is going to look good. If you're a play caller and your quarterback can't execute, that is going to reflect poorly on you. The offense is not going to be able to sustain drives and score points. Basic concepts, if they're not being executed, all of a sudden you're going to be asked about your play calling. I don't think that Peterson has been perfect. I also don't think that overnight he has forgotten how to be a good head coach, Mike. I just don't. Mm. And I know that he's taken a lot of the heat, and I think that he deserves some of it. But my basic premise here is that the quarterback is operating at, you know, a low in the NFL. All of his numbers are way down. And that includes his off-target percentage. He's misfiring on a quarter of his throws right now. It's impossible to look good as an offense when your quarterback is doing that. So I don't want to take the blame off of Peterson. I think that a healthy amount deserves to be on his lap. But the conversation, in my opinion, would not be going on right now if Wentz was holding up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, I think that everybody acknowledges that. But let's go here. It's up to the head coach to take charge of things that aren't going right. And like a couple of those components would be the Jason Peters situation, the Alshon Jeffrey situation, things that you can influence by making moves and shaking things up that way. I've seen it happen with other teams. So, two-part question, and Carson Wentz is under this, because at the same time he's not playing well in the capacity they want him to play, they're not helping him either by saying, okay, what can he do at this point? Well, he can't beat anybody from the pocket. So let's do this with him. And he's got all this coach's input, and he doesn't seem to be changing anything. So my question is there front office interference in this?
Yeah, I would say yes to that to a certain extent. I think that the general setup doesn't give Doug Peterson the amount of breathing room that a Super Bowl winning head coach would typically have. I think that, you know, there's plenty of evidence that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, are very much hands-on when it comes to a lot of this stuff. And you brought up, you know, Jason Peters and Alshon Jeffrey. Now, ultimately, Doug Peterson will say that that's his call. At the same time, you know, they gave Jason Peters, per his demands, a bump to be at left tackle, and he's playing currently at left tackle. Alshon Jeffrey is on this team because management decided that they didn't want to double down on a bad mistake by cutting him. And so they're saddled with him, and therefore, you know, he's got to be factored into the game plan somehow. So I do think that there is more than meets the eye when it comes to Peterson. I feel like he is more constricted than you would anticipate a Super Bowl winning coach to be.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough, and that's a shame, because the head coach really is the one in the locker room who can enforce this kind of change when things are going poorly. So I don't know what that means for the rest of the season. But let's get to the Hurts thing. What do you think the percentage chance is that he starts Monday?
I don't think he's going to start Monday.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't sound that way. And I followed up with Wentz also, and Billy's, your understanding of starting? And he said, yes, sir. And, and finally Peterson landed on the fact that he's going to start. But it seems to me like, you know, maybe we're not that far away. If the play continues to sag, that we're not far away from seeing Hurts. The issue, Mike, is that there's really nowhere to go with that, and there's no good outcome with it. I mean, best case scenario is that Hurts goes in, he does okay, but really it just lights a fire under Wentz. He comes back in and he t- takes off for not just now, but for the rest of his career. That's the best case scenario. But there's so many ways where it can go wrong on you, including, you know, if Hurts plays well, then you're going to create a fracture in the locker room as to who the starting quarterback should be. And there's no way to kind of switch permanently to Hurts because Wentz is under contract. He's got a dead money hit of $60 million next year, which means that you cannot cut him. The year after that, it's $40 million. You cannot cut him. You are saddled with Wentz. And so really it brings up this question of why did you draft Jalen Hurts? What is the best case scenario for him being on this roster? And I can tell you what the worst case scenario is. It's happening right now. Carson Wentz struggles. Fan base starts clamoring, and maybe people on the inside start clamoring for Jalen Hurts. It puts your franchise quarterback in a bind. It puts your head coach in a bind, and there's really no good way to get out of it. That was the fear by many when they decided to use a second-round pick on Hurts, is that, you know, this is going to rub the quarterback the wrong way, and it's going to create outside noise that you just don't need, and the upside isn't worth it. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing right now. Wentz isn't playing well. The clamoring for Hurts is going on. It wouldn't be the same if it was Nate Sudfeld or Josh McCown behind him. So that is a distraction of their own creation.
All right, so you enlightened me in this story because I wasn't aware of these numbers. I was under the impression that after 2022, they would be able to make a move with Wentz. So they can make a move after this year. That's a $60 million dead cap hit. And even after the 2022 season, if they move him, the dead cap hit is 39.5 mil.
Yes, and that was enlightened to me by Dan Graziano when he was doing some cap crunching numbers on this, when it was the theory of like how married is an organization to their quarterback. And Wentz was ranked like 3 or 4 on that list. And that was because even though if you were to go on one of those sites like Over the Cap or Spot Rack, you would see that the number is lower than that. There's a bonus that kicks in between now and then that actually drives that number up to closer to $40 million. And so, yes, it becomes very much cumbersome to move Wentz. And if he's not playing well, it's obviously difficult to unload that contract, even though he's obviously a very gifted quarterback that some people still very much believe in. So yeah, it's a very tough situation for them.
I gave them actually too much credit. See, I thought they were savvy. They wanted to move on with Hurts, and they could do it after the 2022 season, and it would be easy. But now it makes absolutely zero sense,
right?
That they would have drafted him.
I agree. I think that they wanted to get better with stockpiling their quarterbacks. They felt like they kind of fell off after Foles in that respect, wanting to make sure that they were staying true to their general mantra of, you know, we're a quarterback factory, or, you know, where we invest in heavily in quarterbacks. And I think that was the mantra that was really driving them. I mean, there's all these other things like, you know, that Wentz has had multiple significant injuries. And so there's some logic there, but really when you, and Rosen was asked about this at the time they was drafted, like, what's the best case scenario for you with drafting Hurts? And he had a real difficult time expressing that. And that's because, like, when you play it out, every scenario, it doesn't end particularly well or in a great place. So there was a lot of head scratching going on at the time, and there was reason for that.
Wow. That's flabbergasting. All right, Tim, thanks so much. Great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mike, happy Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy. You and your fam. All right, Tim McManus, brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp, online at trainingcamp.com. That is such a fireable offense now that I understand it, because I was actually giving them too much credit. And I knew I was walking down a dangerous road by giving them credit, because at least I thought, well, there's got to be some kind of method to that madness of drafting him in the second round. And the only thing it could be is that was the shiny new toy factor. Now I'm completely wrong. There was absolutely no reason to take him.
Looking at my phone, where it jumped up and threw everybody off is, if he's on the team, and Wentz will be on the team, on March 15th, he gets another $15 million. That's what jumped. So that number was without that roster bonus, but because they can't cut him because of the $60 million, it guarantees that in March, Wentz gets another $15 million guaranteed. That's what jumped it up in the following year. It's the roster bonus and they locked him in. See, sometimes you cut a guy the day before that roster bonus kicks in. They built the contract to where they can't cut him, but then by paying him, you raise the cap value the following year.
I'm just completely stunned right now that they could be that foolish. That the best case scenario in drafting that guy was that he couldn't play as a starter until 2023.
That's organizational malpractice.
It is. It's a second round pick.
And look at all these holes in the roster. I know we're up against, but look at all the holes in the roster.
So bad.
The second round pick could have filled some of these holes. The roster stinks.
So bad.
I'm out. Let's take a break. We're coming back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli's show, 5 o'clock hour, brought to you by Guided Jordan Windows. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down up to 3 years of paid off interest free. Call Guided Jordan Windows today, 1-877-GO-GUIDED, or visit goguida.com. Well, the Sixers, with some really interesting, eye-popping moves and delightful moves to their fan base, and our next guest is one of them, following the signing of a couple shooters, the drafting of a good Kentucky player. And of course, this man is probably headed to the Hall of Fame. Has had a tremendous career, although it's been a career that's had some ups and downs. Philly fans delighted and surprised to hear about the acquisition of Dwight Howard, who joins us on the Comcast Business Highline. Bounce forward. Dwight, how you doing today?
I'm doing amazing, man. How you doing?
Awesome. Now, talk to me about this Philly thing and why this situation appealed to you. Now, we'll go through how it happened, but your reaction of being in Philly and why you wanted to be here.
Oh, well, I'm extremely grateful that I have this opportunity to play basketball in year 17. But not only that, you know, play for the 76ers. You know, I've been a fan of this team for a couple of years now. It's just crazy that I'm actually going to be playing for the 76ers. I never would think that my journey would lead me to this place, but everything happens for a reason. And I'm super excited to play alongside of one of the best centers in today's game, Joel, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris, and the rest of this crew. Really looking forward to getting to know the guys and being a part of helping bring the trophy to Philly.
All right, so Dwight, here's the way it happened. You thought you had to deal with the Lakers. You tweeted out you were staying where you belong, and it was a one-year deal. And all of a sudden, the Lakers say, hold on, and then they don't get back to you, and Philly swoops in. So what made you pull the trigger on that when it came available?
Well, you know, you always want to go where you want to be in value. And, you know, I wouldn't say that the organization or the people in LA didn't value me. At the time, I had planned on re-signing with the Lakers. Once they didn't have an offer for me, I just felt like I had to make another decision. Doc Rivers called me. He said he wanted me on the team. And I was just so shocked to hear from Doc that he wanted me on the team that it caught me on guard. I said, I need about 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes, my party's back. And I was just super excited the fact that he wanted me to play on the team. And I just started thinking about the possibilities of this team and what we can accomplish. And I told him, yes, right away.
Well, it's a great move for the Sixers. And are you? So you talked about your relationship or playing with Embiid, playing with Ben. How do you think you fit in with this team? What are your expectations? Are you going to be more than just a backup center here? Is it possible that they use you as a starting four? What are the things that you've been told?
I only see a trophy. So whatever's going to get us a championship, you know, I'll be willing to do it, you know. Nothing else matters but winning that trophy. Whatever it takes, whatever we have to do as a team, you know, I'll be able to play any role that, you know, the doc needs me to be. If it's a starting role, if it's coming off the bench, if it's playing the four, whatever I have to do for this team, you know, I'll be willing to do it so we can win.
You're coming off a championship team and a team that probably can repeat out in the West. So you believe coming here, this team is capable of winning?
I do believe that. You know, we have two great players, Ben Simmons and Joel, who will be leading the way. You have a great coach who's won championships. You have two guys that are fresh off winning the championships, and Danny and myself. And then you have these young guns who are hungry. And I think now it's just everybody teaching everybody how to win together. And I think that is the next step of this team. They've had some great individual success and some great success during the regular season. But I think now it's time for these guys to be successful in the playoffs. And, you know, looking forward to being a part of the driving force and the spirit of the team.
We're talking to Dwight Howard. Dwight, it's a little tough for us to hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm in this restaurant and they just turned all the music on.
I'm just saying, that's all right. We're trying to get a clearer audio of you. If you can make that happen, that would be great. So
I'm gonna see if I could step away real quick so I could. It got super loud in here.
Okay, that's a lot better. Thank you for doing that. All right, so let's talk about the relationship with Embiid, because I can picture practice wars with you two. And I don't know whether you know him that well or what your relationship is with him, but I know you have used psychological warfare in the past with people. I assume the practices will be like that?
Yes. Every day is a battle. And our job is His job is to win the day, and my job is to win the day. So, yes, I'm looking forward to just those battles every day in practice, because I know that what I can provide for Joel, you know, I don't know if he's, and it's not me being cocky or anything, and I say this in the most humble way, I think that I will be a perfect person to help him get to the next level. We both play the same position. He has all the tools and the talent and the mindset to be one of the greatest to ever play. And I think now he's about to get over the hump. And for him to have, you know, someone who I've heard him say in a couple of interviews that he started playing basketball from watching the finals between the Lakers and the Magic. So he
got an eye full of you.
Yes. And so this will be a great opportunity, and I'm looking forward to those practices, and I'm also just looking forward to, you know, just, you know, helping him thrive, you know, as a center, you know, and all the things that could hurt him along the way, just making sure he don't have none of those pitfalls, because I really believe he, and I've been saying this, out of all the centers that I've seen, you know, he's it. He can be everything. He could do it all.
Dwight, have you spoken to him? Here's where I'm going with this, because Charles Barkley tells a story all the time about Moses Malone urging him to get in better shape. Is that the type of feedback? I mean, you're obviously in physical shape. You're a physical specimen. Would you have that kind of feedback with him? Is that how you might stay on him?
Well, you know, we're all grown men, you know, and I don't know if he would want somebody to stay on him, you know, in that type of way. But, you know, I do have a way of, you know, just, you know, being the right example. You know, sometimes, you know, people could, you know, say a lot of different things, but it's what they do in their work. And, you know, I believe that, you know, he'll see that with how I approach every day, you know, just being an example for them. It's not necessarily, you know, what I say is what I do. So I think that will in turn help him and, later on, or help myself with him later on when I do want to speak up and say certain things, he'll see it in my work.
Talking to Dwight Howard. Dwight, you had three pretty good years in Houston, and Maury was the general manager there. And I know you've had interesting things to say about playing with Harden and how it benefits a center. There's still rumor that it's possible that the Sixers reach out for Harden. So tell me a little bit about, if that would happen, how a center thrives with a guy like James Harden.
Well, that would be crazy. That would definitely be crazy. Harden in Philly. I think that would, the fans would go crazy over something like that. But I think with the guy that we have now in Ben Simmons, no offense to James Harden and his greatness, but I believe Ben Simmons is one of those guys who that could be a top point guard to ever play this game. To be one of the best to ever play. He has the size, the athletic ability. He has all the tangibles that you would need from a player of this caliber. And I know people have, you know, talked about his ability to shoot the basketball. But he is somebody who can get to the basket. He can create for others. And he's a dog. And I love him. I love how he plays. And I think he's going to be a bigger dog this year because he has a chip on his shoulder. He's coming off an injury. He missed the playoffs. He's disappointed in what happened in the playoffs. I'm pretty sure he's going to come back hungry. And we're going to see a different Ben Simmons than anybody's ever seen.
Dwight, listen, let's talk about your career quickly. Listen, you've had a Hall of Fame career, but you've also, there also have been some controversies in your career, and you bounced to like five different teams since 2016. But how would you review your career, and what do you think people think of it, and what do you want people to think of it?
Oh, well, you know, a lot of people have, you know, in the past have always talked about the bad things that have happened, the controversies, but, you know, I've been in the NBA for a very long time, 16 years going on 17. Despite all that stuff that has happened throughout my career, it has landed me an opportunity to win a championship. So I don't look at any of those mistakes or those failures that I had as something bad. You know, I took it as a lesson, which just taught me to continue to persevere no matter how hard situation get, no matter if I get traded, no matter if people say I lost a step, I'm washed, whatever it is, just find a way to persevere to the end. And it got me a championship. So I'm very thankful and grateful for all the things that I have to go through in my career. Because it's motivated me to even be a greater person and a greater player, but also to be a greater person and player for the guys that are around me, my teammates, coaching staff, you know, so I'm just excited about this opportunity in Philly. You know, one thing I want people to always remember, you know, for me is, you know, perseverance. No matter how hard it got, I was willing to do whatever it takes to win, and persevere to the end. You know, being a tortoise in the race is not bad. You know, having longevity is not bad, but I'm looking forward to this season, helping this team get over the hump. And it's been too long here in Philly since 1983. And we want to change that this season.
Would you have done anything differently in your career when you look back at it?
Would I have done anything differently in my career looking back at it? Probably, yes, there's a lot of things I probably would have done, you know, differently.
Give me one thing you would have done differently. One experience that you could have reversed.
One experience. Well, I wouldn't say. I think everything happens for a reason. I wouldn't say anything I would do in reverse. I would just say I would just make sure I make sound decisions, you know, whether that be with teams, whether that be with things that I've said or done. But, you know, I was very young. You know, I was inexperienced. And I was just doing things off what I thought was right, you know. And as you get older, you know, you learn through your transgression. And that's how you gain experience. So I'm thankful for all the things that I that have happened to me in my career. It's made me a better man and a better player. And I've been to the very top of the mountain, and I've been to the bottom. So I've seen it all. And I'm just thankful that I'm still here today. And what an opportunity to play for the 76ers and also the really great fans that are in Philadelphia.
I've been dying to ask you this last question, and because you went head to head with Stan Van Gundy back in the day, he broadcast games, and now he's back coaching. What do you think of him right now in the year 2020? What are your feelings on Stan Van Gundy?
Oh man, I love him. I love him. He was a big part of my career, big part of my success, and I'm very happy to see that. You know, he has a coaching job again. It's actually crazy that you know he has this job. And during the bubble, from listening to him every night, commentating the games, I really thought that he was about to be the head coach of Philadelphia, cause I would always watch a lot of the Philly games. And here it is, I'm on Philly. He's the head coach again in New Orleans. He has an opportunity to bring, New Orleans back, to a good standing. And, you know, I believe in him, and I'm very happy for him.
Well, life comes full circle because your old point guard back in the Orlando days is in the Sixers organization now, Jameer Nelson. Have you talked to Jameer at all?
I haven't spoken to him yet, but I just, you know, I'm so thankful to see him again. I remember right before we started playing in the bubble this year, I posted a picture of me and Jameer back in Orlando, talking about winning the championship. And you know, now we're back together. We got an opportunity to do it together.
Dwight, listen, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Best of luck to you. I know fans are excited that you're part of this organization. The team has really changed a little bit, but for, I think, a good way. So thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, there he is. Dwight Howard on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Got that grizzly, that grizzly tone.
Yeah. Yeah, a big guy should sound like that. Him and Embiid, they sound like a big guy, 6'10". He's not. Big guys should sound like that.
Yeah, don't underestimate that practice thing, man, because that's really helpful to have a guy can battle with Embiid in a practice situation. Now, I know they don't practice a lot once the season rolls on, but that's real important.
It is, and I do agree with his method when you ask him about working with Embiid. If he shows up in shape and he's getting up and down,
mm-hmm.
that might be bigger than just saying it to a guy. Like saying it might work with Barkley.
Yeah.
And that in the 80s.
Yeah.
In 2020, you probably need a guy who's going to back it up first before he says something. Because otherwise, man, look at what you talking to.
Yeah.
But if he's showing it, then he has the license to say it.
Well, he seems excited about joining this squad.
Yeah.
You know, he jumped the gun like right away. He could have waited for that Laker thing, and he just went, boom. But you know, it's just not signing with a team. It's signing with a team that you think, at his age, he thinks can win, and I think he thinks it.
Yeah, because he didn't come for the money.
Nope.
And he didn't come to start, because he knows that. So clearly, I think that perhaps, because you had Doc Rivers who chose this over other jobs. You had Maury who chose this above other jobs. And now you have players choosing the Sixers over other opportunities.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There might be a chance that because it's one of these things where we're too close and we look at every flaw. We look at what Simmons can't do and we know what he can't do. And we look at what Embiid doesn't do. And you've said that many times. And I think others are saying, well, hold on. They can do a whole bunch of stuff. We'll help them do this, or we'll get players. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Rather than just harping on what they can't do.
Yeah. See, he's smart, too. He's savvy. Because when I brought the Harden thing in, he's thinking, well, he's trying to trap me into thinking we're better off with Harden than Ben. And then he went to praise Ben. See how smooth he was with that?
Yep. He gave Harden his props. He gave Harden his props.
And then he flipped right to Ben.
Man,
that's a veteran.
And he's a dog. And he threw all that in. I think he's going to be hungry.
It's a veteran move.
And how does he know he's, I mean, I'm sure he's going to be hungry, but has he spoken to him?
No, it's a vet move.
Been around.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the phone. Scott in Dallas. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, God bless Dwight. Now, I think he can get to Embiid, but I have my doubts about Simmons.
Well, we'll see. I think he'll get, like, I think that Ben will play hard. There's no question he's going to play hard. That's not my problem. I don't, you know, he's got to flip the switch in his head to shoot it.
He does. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Carson. They both have this mental block where they just, for some reason, never change.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But anyway, I want to talk about the quarterback situation because we're kind of, man, we're in a big conundrum because we leave Carson in there. I don't see us winning with the way he's playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it, the last thing I want to do is go into a top five pick with Howie picking and not knowing what you got. You almost need to play Hurts just to figure out if you need to get a quarterback or not. Because if Hurts isn't good enough, you should potentially maybe look to trade him in the offseason and then maybe draft a top five guy because you got like six guys there now who are looking legit. I mean, everybody's talking about Lawrence and Fields, but that dude from BYU, Zach Wilson, you got Trey Lance, or I don't want to.
Yeah, I think there's many first round guys as you think there is. And they wouldn't, first of all, they would not be able to find out enough about Jalen Hurts to make that decision. And then secondly, they're pegged into Carson Wentz through 2022 now that we know the real numbers. So to look for a quarterback is not the thing they should do.
Yeah, maybe go for that offensive lineman. I hear he's supposed to be potentially like Joe Thomas, the guy from Oregon, Sewell or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be guys they can grab, improve their team. It won't be quarterback, though.
It's going to be scary right now. I don't see how it gets fixed right now. It's ugly, and I only see it getting uglier.
Well, we'll see. All right, man, I'm going to give you a general knowledge question. We haven't gotten back to general knowledge in a while. So here, this is the Snapple category. Snapple real facts, which really aren't real facts, but what we've been conditioned to know. So the fact is, this food product never spoils. We've been told it. It's been on the cap. Food product never spoils.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know. Tea?
It is not. It is not. Thank you for playing. It is honey. It's like honey. You can keep honey in your cup forever. Never spoils, but it does.
It does?
Yes. So that's not a fact.
It does last a very long time.
I've had mine for like 5 years.
No, it lasts that long. It just doesn't last forever.
I wouldn't trust 5-year-old.
No. It's just one of those things that made the move and never got thrown out.
You need to throw that little honey bear away.
It's a jar.
It's not a jar.
Yeah, it's
most
not.
People buy the bear because it's the cheapest.
No,
it gets hard in the damn bear.
Also, no, it was from a local farm.
Ah, well, there you go.
Apparently, what goes bad is the stuff that they put to manufacture the honey.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, because you're not getting, that's not, they say pure honey, but they're sweetening it. They're doing other stuff.
Oh, no, mine is pure honey that I
from a bee's rear end?
Yeah, because it's good for allergies.
There's no way you know if it was from a bee's rear end.
This was?
How do you know?
You'd have to scrape the...
Because I got it from the farm.
Well, you'd have to scrape the hive for it to...
That's what I'm saying. The farms do stuff to it. They process it.
No, this is supposed to be local, and it's supposed to help with allergies.
Yeah, it is. It is all that, but I still have to process it to get it clear. Because honey comes off a comb is just a cluster of cloudy.
Right.
And that... I think would stay like in the wild like that. That one would last a really, really long time. Once they put the sugar and stuff in, that goes bad.
Yes. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We still have some general knowledge questions to give out. General knowledge questions today are brought to you by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who kind of have the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.